We did a short series for about 3 weeks, and this week we're moving into something a little different. So we're going to talk about surrender, okay, or total surrender, surrendering to God, okay, surrendering everything that we are. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we are grateful to be here, Father, to be able to press in to see what you're doing in our community, to press into receiving what you have in our hearts, what you have laid in our life, made to bring to pass in and through our life, Lord, and we're grateful for that. I pray that as we press into surrendering unto you, Lord, that we see it as an opportunity. We see it as something that we can do that will grow our faith in you, that will cause us to prosper in the things that you cause us to prosper in, and that will allow us to expand our understanding of you and be able to get deeper in past ourselves, beyond ourselves, and be able to look at what you are up to and to be a part of that, Father. We're grateful for it. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say amen. Amen. So surrender, total surrender. Let's start with some definitions of surrender. Okay, I think I have six different ones, but you're going to find that they all have a lot in common or almost sound exactly the same, and that's actually on purpose because it really is. There's a basic thing that you'll get out of all six of these. So number one, surrender is to yield to the power of another. Is that big enough print you can read it? To give or deliver up possession of anything upon compulsion or demand, such as to surrender one's person to another. Okay, we all think of surrender, right? You lift your hands up, I surrender. Wave the white flag, we surrender. Okay, number two is to give up possession of, to yield, to resign, as in to surrender a right, a privilege, or an advantage. Number three is to yield to any influence, emotion, passion, or power. Okay, you'll see that word yield. Okay, number four, to yield, to render or deliver up, to give up, or to turn over to another. Okay, number five is to give up oneself into the power of another, to yield as seeing no way of escape. Okay, to get to that point that there's no other way, it's, you know what, I'm done, I'm sorry, I surrender, right? I give up. Okay, your number six is the act of surrendering, the act of yielding or resigning one's person or the possession of something into the power of another. Surrender. Okay, surrender. Okay, now the Christian believer and follower of Jesus Christ is called without a doubt to completely surrender to our Father God, to His Son, Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit. Now, we're just going to kind of scratch the surface on this tonight, but I think you're going to be able to take away something that you can apply to your life, surrender, okay, something that we can consciously think of and apply to be able to find a new and greater place of growth in our faith towards our Father God or towards God in our walk with Him. Now, being a triune God, okay, we serve the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even though they are three in one, we can, through a conscious act of our will, we can surrender to each part of the Godhead individually. Okay, to surrender to God, to surrender to the Son of God, and to surrender to Holy Spirit. Okay, let's start with number one. Surrender to the Almighty God. Surrendering to God means that you give up your thoughts and ideas for what it takes to be saved and to maintain your saved status or your righteousness, and you yield those thoughts to God's thoughts. In other words, I admit I do not know what it takes to be saved, but God does. So I'm going to follow God's plan or God's thoughts along that line on what it takes. Now, If we asked a Christian today, what does it take to be saved? They would have an answer, right? Because God gave us that answer through Jesus, his son. Okay, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Okay, now we can know the thoughts of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, but that's a whole other message. Surrendering to God involves giving everything over to him. You saw that in all those definitions. It wasn't just surrendering a little bit to God. It was about surrendering one's person or your possession or whoever, whatever it was. That means that we are going to be giving God more than just the ugly stuff, okay, and asking him to fix it. Okay, we definitely, about every Christian can say, yeah, I've got things I want to turn over to God, right? Okay, but the surrendering everything to him means that we want to give God more than just that ugly stuff. It means that we are turning over the good stuff too. Okay, that means your hopes, your dreams, your desires, okay, skills and abilities, things that God has given you that you may see as good things as well. Now, if God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, you might have noticed we're driving our car today instead of the van. Okay, so if I think of God's thoughts being higher than my thoughts, okay, I might be thinking, I just want to get my old van out of the mechanic shop without it costing too much. That would be a huge blessing to me. And God might be thinking, I just want to scrap that van and have somebody give you a brand new 2022 Suburban. Okay? Which I would gladly take if anybody wants to give me one. If I go with God's thoughts, it's going to turn out much better than my thoughts. Our old van's got way too many miles on it, but it's hanging in there. Okay? So in that case, for me to yield my thoughts to what God wants to do would turn out much more to my benefit. Right? Okay, you guys following that? But wouldn't it also be true if I have my sights set way out there on some massive thing, way out there in, you know, I'll call it la-la land, and yet I am repeatedly missing the opportunities that God keeps placing right in front of me right now, am I still not missing it? Am I still not yielding, submitting to God's thoughts instead of my own? Now, there's nothing wrong with having dreams and hopes and stuff way out there, but if this is where my focus is and God's is up here, I'm still not yielded my thoughts to his thoughts. Okay, you're focused on jumping from here to there, but God is saying, yes, that is the goal, but I have a few things I want to work out in your life along the way that you're missing. And that's why there is taking so long. You want to get there. God's saying, I want to get you there, but it's going to take some steps to get there that you're wanting to bypass. You're wanting to skip over. Okay, God plans to get you to that higher place, but it's going to be a staircase that will get you there and not an elevator. Does that make sense? There may be some, you know, you'll still get there, but you don't just jump in and push a button and you're there. Okay, that's great. That's a modern technology, pretty cool to have an elevator. But in our spiritual growth, how often do I see people that are struggling and wanting to be there, but they won't do the steps. They won't go through what they need to get to that point. And I speak to myself, I was there. Probably still am in certain areas of my life. But I remember growing up under my pastor and, man, I was ready. I just wanted to be there. I knew I was called to ministry. Put me in ministry. What are you waiting for? Thank God he had a little more wisdom than I did, right? He knew enough not to put that novice into ministry. Okay, well, surrendering to God is about yielding everything in your life to God. Okay, everything that is bad, everything that needs some work and fixing, along with everything about your life that you think is good. And I say that you think is good. Okay, you have some weaknesses, some areas that you want to turn over to Him, but you also have some God-given gifts. Okay? You have things that God has, you know how to do, that somebody else does not know how to do. Okay? God cannot effectively use your skills, your abilities, and your talents that He has given you if you are not willing to turn them over to Him as well. He didn't give it to you and say, now go run with it. Okay? He's saying, let's do this together. That's the way He always is. Okay? He wants to do it with us, not apart from us. So maybe we need to stop holding back. Okay? In particular areas from what God is, you know, has for us to accomplish today. Okay? Pretending that we know more about our life than God does. I know where I'm going. I know what's my, this is it. Doesn't God probably know better than we do? Doesn't God know where He wants us to be? Where we can be the most effective? Where He has called us to be? It's called trusting in Him with your entire life. Okay, 100%. Not 80%, and then the other 20 is you. It's about 100% in Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says to trust in the Lord with just a little bit of your heart. Okay, trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart and a whole lot of your skills. No, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Okay, God understands a little better, bigger than we do. Okay, I'm sorry. I know you think you're right up there. But God knows things that we don't know. Okay, that's the way He is. In all of our ways, we acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Okay, now the starting place for submission to God is at the very beginning of your new life in Christ. Okay, I pointed to it earlier that submitting, surrendering to God is about accepting what it takes to be saved, that God has a plan for that. Okay, it's about grace, if you don't know that. Okay, it is something that comes with a full understanding of how you get or got saved and how you maintain that. Okay, when we stray from that, we're straying from our surrender to God. Okay, when we start performing, when we start working, I got to do this and then God will be pleased with me, we have now strayed from our surrender to God's plan of salvation. Okay, it's about submitting to the righteousness of God through faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. Okay, the Apostle Paul describes being saved through faith. And as he's doing it, he points out the folly of those who pridefully won't submit to God's ways, and they go about trying to save themselves through their own effort. It's in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to the right kind of knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted, surrendered, yielded themselves unto the righteousness of God." Okay, they were trying to keep the law, to put that in context. They were trying to keep the law as a means of obtaining and maintaining their right standing with God. But God says, "No, my Son kept the law perfectly. You put your faith in Him and what He did." Okay, striving and struggling, feeling good when you do good, feeling bad when you do bad, condemning yourself, making yourself feel guilty, beating yourself up over it, punishing yourself. Okay, basing your right standing on your own deeds instead of the deeds of Jesus Christ is not God's way. So anytime we begin to stray from that, we are no longer fully surrendered to God. Submitting to God is all about humility. Okay, it is yielding to the fact that His grace is sufficient. Okay, even Paul had to learn that one, right? You surrender yourself to God through a consistent dependence on Him. Okay, saying, I gotta have you. Okay, that is trusting in His greatness. It's trusting in His wisdom and His plan. Okay, number two is that's surrendering to God. Number two is surrendering to the Son of God, to Jesus. Okay, we submit and surrender to the Son of God by seeking to adhere to His ways and to His teachings with everything that we've got. That is surrendering to Him. We see it, Jesus, there's many, many red words in the Bible. Okay, in the New Testament, you read that stuff, you see how He lived, you see how He talked, you see the things that were important to Him, you see what He taught the disciples, you see what the disciples gathered from it and wrote their own books and wrote to Timothy or wrote to these different people and churches, and we begin to apply that to our life with everything that we've got. Jesus was and is the perfection of God. Okay, He was the Word of God made flesh. This is what God said. Look at Jesus. Okay, He was the perfection of God. Okay, there is no greater example to know how to live this life on earth than by looking at Jesus. Okay, He came and did it in the flesh so that we would know without question whether He knows what it's like to live on earth. Okay, He lived it in the flesh. The Bible tells us that He was in all points tempted like as we are and yet without sin. Okay, He was fully pleasing, was and is fully pleasing to the Father. Okay, we surrender to Jesus as the Word of God when we submit to the Word of God. Okay, we submit to it and surrender to the Word as being the absolute truth by which all of life consists. All things that pertain unto life and godliness were given to us through Christ. Okay, in doing that, in yielding ourselves to the Word, we effectively give up every lie, every deception, every bias that we have, and we yield to a new and better way. Okay, we yield ourselves and trust that the Word is true and right and is never wrong, ever. So often I see Christians that are submitting themselves to ordinances and man-made rules and things they've made up for themselves that are not even in the Bible. Okay, but they're going to keep it and do it because it makes them feel more holy. It makes them feel more special in God's eyes. Okay, they use a lot of these as a form of self-punishment. Okay, because that's what ends up happening. You make a rule, you break the rule, you got to punish yourself. Okay, and people do that all the time, especially this time of year. I won't go into all that. Okay, but they use it as a form of self-punishment for mistakes that they have made. Okay, or they twist or they avoid certain parts of scriptures. I mentioned this, I think, last week, to kind of give themselves an excuse on why they don't have to do something. Okay, or to not do something that might require a change in their life. Hey, how many know that if you see something in the Bible and it's like, ugh, I don't know about that one, because it's going to make us have to change. If we're going to believe that and hold that as truth, we'd have to change something in our life. And that's why people avoid it. Okay, people avoid or twist scriptures. They cleave to a lie that says they can't step up and serve in the church because they've had this happen in their life or they had that happen in their life, okay, in their past. They believe they can't receive the blessings of God because they're just not worthy. That's a lie. Okay, or they've convinced themselves that they don't need to fill in the blank, quit sleeping with somebody they're not married to, or quit, you know, being mean to people, or, you know, quit taking money from their employer, or whatever it is, because they're, quote, under grace. Okay, they're twisting the scripture to be able to keep doing something that is clearly spoken of in God's Word. Okay, so many people would rather just go on believing that lie. They would rather cleave to that lie, just hang on to it with everything they've got rather than change. Because God has called us to repent. He didn't call sinners to stay sinners. He called sinners unto repentance, okay, to change their way. Okay, God can be right in their face showing them the error of their ways, but they will stubbornly refuse to see it. Because if they did, if they acknowledged it, if they said, you're right, that's true, they would be required to alter their behavior from that moment forward. Okay, now we are to cleave to the words of Christ and to the scriptures that holy men of God spoke as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. We are to take it to heart, not as just good for some people, not as just good sometimes, but as something that we want to adhere to, something that we believe is God's word spoken directly to me. Okay, or fill in your name in there.
Come on.
Following Jesus involves a continual mindset that who we are and who we are becoming in Christ is totally dependent on giving up who we think we are and who we think we are trying to become. Okay? Now God, like I said, will lay things on your heart. You'll have it down inside, but you've got to allow that process to take place. Listen to this scripture in Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Jesus says, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Any of you who does not forsake, this is a shout hallelujah amen message, isn't it? I haven't heard one yet, so that's why I say that. It's got to be there somewhere. Any of you who does not forsake, renounce, surrender claim to, give up, say goodbye to all that you have cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's probably what I name a few of them, but that's probably one of the most convicting verses in the entire Bible. Whoever of you that does not forsake, renounce, surrender claim to, give up, say goodbye to all that you have cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, pondering on that one verse will change your life. What does it mean? What does he mean? Surrender all that I have? You know, the gospel is free, but it will cost you everything. Right? The gospel is free, but it costs you everything. The good news is that the return on your investment is pretty fantastic. Okay, look at Luke 9:23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, here's the plan. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Okay, to deny yourself is to forget and lose sight of yourself. To lose sight of your own interests. It involves refusing yourself. Okay, to follow Christ on the other side is to cleave steadfastly to him. Okay, conforming wholly to his example in living and if need be, in dying. To lay down your life for Christ takes more than just saying something that we will do. Oh, I'll lay down my life for Christ. Okay, Peter had a similar experience. Okay, he found out kind of the hard way that when he said he would never forsake the Lord, and yet Jesus knew that he was going to forsake him, and we know from reading the Bible that he did. Right? That's in John 13:36. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him and said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered and said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you that the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me thrice. Okay, and you know the story. He did deny the Lord. Okay, but the Bible says that once he realized what he had done, he, quote, wept bitterly. Okay, in other words, he saw the error of his way and he repented of it. Okay, the end result was that Peter then realized, I've been saying that I'm laying it all down, but I really haven't. And at that moment, he totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. Okay, he gave his all to him, and he went on to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and thousands of people came to Jesus because of Peter's faith. And at this point, from reading Peter's stuff, you could probably say millions and millions have come to Christ because of Peter's faith. He laid down his life, he took up the cross of Christ, and he fully yielded himself to the will of God. And eventually, even being martyred because he would not renounce Christ. Number three, got to close this out. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. This is one of my favorites. Okay, the Holy Spirit knows the good and perfect will of God for your life. The Holy Spirit knows that. He's part of the Godhead. Of course, he knows. He is intimately in tune with the ways of God. So by submitting, yielding, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, you will walk in God's purposes for your life. I'm going to say that again. When you surrender to the Holy Spirit, you will fulfill God's purpose for your life. We want purpose. We want to know what it is. We want to know how to fulfill it. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6 tells us that whoever you continually surrender yourself to, okay, if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you are a slave to whom you obey, it says. Okay, now, how many of you have ever wished that God would just order you around like a slave and tell you exactly what you need to do? Okay, I have. I love that, man. God, just show me. Just tell me. Okay, well, we have some good news because Holy is here to help us. Okay, Holy Spirit is exactly there to do just that. When you surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit as an obedient servant, that you command me and I will do it. We say, whatever you want me to do, I will do. When we get to that point where we are surrendering to the Holy Spirit, being obedient to Him as a servant of His, He will give you perfect instructions. Never once will he lead you in the wrong path. It will always be, this is what God wants, kid. Okay, listen, this is what God wants. Okay, now surrendering to the Holy Spirit, he was given to us by God at the request of Jesus to be our helper. Okay, he came with a package of gifts to empower you to boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ and to live the holy life that God has called you to. You know, how many would like to regularly experience a divine sense of direction so you always knew how God wanted to accomplish something? What is God's plan? What is God's best in this situation? Guess what? Holy Spirit knows that. And when we submit to Him, we will get that instruction to be able to follow it. Okay, or how about having the ability to know something that you have no human possibility of being able to know. Okay, again, Holy knows that stuff. Supernatural faith when you need it. Healings. Miracles. An anointed prayer language that supersedes anything you could come up with in English are all part of what the Holy Spirit of God has given you as gifts. Okay, and one of my all-time favorite gifts of the Holy Spirit is that of discernment of spirits. Okay, discerning what is behind this calamity in my life. To ask Holy, he can show me just like that. Okay, sometimes it takes a little longer than that, but he knows what is going on in the spiritual realm. He's a spirit, after all. And so you ask him, show me what is behind all this, Lord. Ask him of those things, and he will begin to point you in a direction to show you what is going on. Now, I know that many of you want to be more spiritual, okay, or spiritually minded. All you have to do is surrender to the Holy Spirit, and that will happen. It will happen. It begins to see, you begin to see more and more things. You know, don't resist the Holy Spirit or be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Okay, someone told me on more than one occasion that they wanted to go deeper with God. They're just crying out, wanting to go deeper with God and in a relationship with Him, but yet they were afraid to receive the Holy Spirit and let Him lead and guide them because they were concerned about where He would take them. It was going to go beyond their comfort zone. I'll tell you, that is, it's pretty near blasphemy to say you believe in God, but yet you don't want His Spirit in your life guiding you? That's kind of saying, I don't want all of God, just the parts I like, okay, or just the parts I'm familiar with. Okay, we want all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. Okay, the Holy Spirit has nothing but good in store for you. Okay, He may take you out of your comfort zone, and I'll say He probably will take you out of your comfort zone, but it's going to be okay because it's God's Spirit who loves you and has your best interest in mind. Now, I like what somebody said the other night in small group. I think it was Jody actually said something. We got to talking about love and what love looked like, and I'm not going to quote this perfectly, but it was something to the effect that you can love yourself and be saying and doing things that will benefit yourself. Okay, because when your emotions evolve around self, they can be manipulated by your circumstances. But when you don't care what happens to yourself, okay, or you care more about that other person than you do yourself, then your motives and your actions will be pure. Okay, this is what our walk with Christ should be like, where we're more concerned about Him than we are about ourselves. Okay, Peter had that moment when he denied, and we probably all have, right? I see Pam's lips out there. We all have. Okay, we've had that moment. Where we think about ourselves more than we think about our Savior. Okay, we want to get to the point where we are more concerned about Jesus, more concerned about God's plan, God's will, more concerned about what the Holy Spirit wants to show us and lead us into than what we want. Okay, that is submitting yourself to God's plan and purpose for your life. Okay, that is laying down your life and taking up the cross of Christ. That is forsaking all that you are and all that you desire to be and surrendering your will to His. Okay, that is placing yourself firmly into the hands of the Holy Spirit in total surrender, knowing that that is the absolute best plan of action for you in life. Amen. Amen. Father God, we are praising You this morning, Lord. I'm learning every day, Lord, about yielding to You, saying what needs to be said, whether it tickles an ear or pricks a heart. Father, to speak the words that You say every day, to be yielded to You in a way that says, God, my life is about You. It's not just about me. I know You'll take good care of me. I know You'll love on me. I know You'll provide for me. I know You'll lead me, show me where to go and what to do. But Lord, I want to be led and guided by You, by Your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for each and every person in here this morning that we remain yielded to You, that we remain conscious of the plan that You have for our eternal life and salvation, that we yield ourselves to what You say is the method of salvation, the method of righteousness, that we yield ourselves to your plan of grace through Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll instill in each one of us a passion to be yielded to your word, regardless of whether it makes us feel good at the moment or not, that we will yield ourselves to it and say, I want what your word says. And Father, I pray that you'll cause each one of us to yield completely in total surrender to your Holy Spirit, that we can hear and know and walk in all the glory, all the power, all the wonder, all the miraculous, the things that you lead us into, whatever it may be, that we are yielded to your Holy Spirit, willing, obedient servants of you and your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that. I thank you for it. I pray that we grow in faith today. I pray that we grow in our understanding of you in a way that takes us beyond our flesh and blood, that takes us into that place in your spirit where we connect in a way that there is no doubt of your leading and your prompting and your guidance and your protection and your provision, your power manifesting in and through our life. Lord, we love you this morning. I know, Lord, sometimes your word speaks pretty sharp to us, Lord, and I thank you for that. I am grateful for that, for helping get us and keep us on the right track, on that narrow path. Lord, keep us and guide us in every endeavor we engage in this week, in our conversations with our family and our friends and our coworkers, as we go places or we stay home or whatever you have us doing this week, Lord, that you will show us and prompt us in ways that are so tangible that we cannot deny. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we praise you and say, Amen.